You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Are you reading Twitter? What's going on?
No, because I was setting this up, but somebody said that the dude from fucking Trapped is starting shit with you or something.
Yeah, what the
you
fuck?
Have to talk about that.
I want well, just yo, to share you, that nigga.
You're not rolling yet, right?
No.
Okay. Yeah, he said that Danny should leave the country and that he doesn't do anything for the country.
He said that.
And that Trapped sells more records.
Yes, he told Ice-T, he goes, yo, I sell more records than you. Shut up.
Yo.
He told more records than so I was like, yo, are you fucking retard?
Yo, you want
to He's
hear-
like, look at you. He started talking shit to me. I was like, yo, I will fuck you up. Oh, he's, yo, I was like, yo, bro, like, how you call Ice-T? Oh, you're whack, man. He started talking. I said, nigga, you're a whack alien ain't fan for him. Yo, people will cry.
The world is mine. 4-5, baby. Yeah. Rap is a trap beat. Sipping Fino. Diablo's Mackie. Knuckle dragging. Pants be sagging. Yeah. Snorted like goats.
All right, let's welcome to Diablo's Den, the Corona Chronicles, episode number 2. I'm your co-host, Jay Reason, and I'm here with the one and only Lord Isaac, a.k.a. Danny Diablo.
Yay, Purell, nigga.
So how are you finding, I'm just straight up, how are you finding Purell anywhere right now?
Nigga, I got Purell, cocaine, Dr. Crossbooks. It's all good out here, nigga. Quarantine, I'm good in quarantine. You need some Purell? You need some weed? Whatever you need, I got.
All right, so basically what you're saying is in your section, it's normal.
Business as usual. I sold the cameras today. I went on the PATH train today, and what was that like?
What was the experience on the PATH train like? Was it anybody?
Whack! Everyone had mask on. It's kind of sad, man. I was looking around and it's like a young mother of a young kid. And they have things on, looking at each other, like holding. Like, yo, I don't want to see that shit. It reminded me of like sci-fi movie or something.
Well, it's crazy too because today in Connecticut they announced that you gotta wear a mask and shit.
Yes.
Every
to go to the store and gloves. So I had the mask on, but the shit makes me mad. Anytime I wear a mask, I always have it's crazy. Every time I always had to take it out, I always forget. I gotta keep it on.
But, well, and then you forget to touch because you're.
No. I'm talking about whenever I use a mask.
Oh.
I was like, oh shit, I keep it on. I'm like, I always have like a little pad type before. Then I do what I have to do, then I take it off.
You're a train freak.
Yo, shout out to Machine, who is enjoying being able to wear a mask in public, he has said.
Yeah, that's my man, Machine.
Yeah. He said he loves the fact that you could just walk around wearing a mask all day and it's fine. Well, yo, E, I don't have Purell, but I did stock up on something else.
What do we got? Oh, Diablo's Dark Roast.
I got Diablo's Den, Dark Roast, Diablo's
Oaken Crow.
Oaken Crow. Shout out
Oaken
to my boy,
Crow,
Oaken Crow.
Coffee. The best goddamn coffee in the world.
I just want to say, I mean, this smells amazing, dude. I totally.
Yo, listen, that's just, when I was young, I hated coffee. Now, it helps me live.
I just want to shout out everybody. Obviously, we're not running sponsors for any of these episodes or whatever, but hey, Jake, you know, he's a local business. If you can support everybody and help out to oakencrow.com, pick up the Diablo's art. So, E, Corona Chronicles episode 1. People liked it seems like, right?
Shout out to Wes and shout out to Scam Dizust.
Shout out to Scam. And we're going to do another one of these, so you know that the world must be close to ending because kids are getting double episodes from us in a short time. So,
next week we're gonna do a Scribble, the rapper Scribble.
Awesome.
And I'm gonna try to get a Sutter Kane, the other rapper.
Awesome.
So we got two more rappers next week. Then week after that, we have two hardcore guys.
Awesome. Well, we got a treat for everybody though today for sure. So we're gonna get our first guest on. I'm going to have you introduce them when they get on, so just hang on one second.
Oh, wait, can I say something?
Yeah, of course.
Fuck the singer for Trapped.
Or you want to get into it now?
Yeah, fuck that guy. All right. First of all, I was on Twitter today, and I saw Ice-T. Shout out to my brother Ice-T. Ice-T's one, but Ice-T influences me a lot of ways musically. This everything is like me and my girl. We're like the hardcore Coco and fucking Ice-T. me and Storm. You know what I mean? Like you know what I'm saying? You understand? Like I love Ice-T, and when I got to know him, he's a cool dude, and much respect to him. So basically, I know Power Trip was arguing some dude. And the guys with Power Trip, I love those guys.
Yeah, shout out to Power Trip.
Those guys, they love Star, and I love those guys. And I was like, oh shit, I really don't. You know, I was like, the kid handled himself, the singer, he handled something, handled himself well on the Twitter thing.
Yeah, right.
But this dude was talking mad shit to Ice-T. It's like you say, he sold my records. I was like, yo, bro, Ice-T's an innovator and a trendsetter and a fucking original gangster. Like he's the. He's the legend. How you do that? I said,
you
niggas are whack.
Pimps up, hose down. Remember?
Huh?
Pimps up, hose down.
Yeah, but the guy with the trap, whatever his name is, Chris Brown. Whack motherfucker. Yeah, he started talking shit to me like, yo, I'm bigger than you.
Yo, which is
like,
crazy.
No, talk about physically. Like, he'll fuck me up. And I was like, yo, bro. I was like, yo, listen. He said, he was like. Mate, he's like, look at you, your tattoos and your gauges. I was like, gauges?
He definitely must think, thinking of somebody else.
So I told him, I said, yo, bro, find out who I am, then talk. Then he started talking shit. He said, I had Down syndrome. And he was like, you don't quit your day job. I said, my day job's fucking your mother. Yo, everyone started laughing. I was like, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, your mom did a great job. I can't diss her. Yeah, he was getting mad. You doing things so mad. And I was just fucking dissing him hard. I was like, I will fuck you up. And, yo, he started saying stupid shit. I was like a little kid. I was like, yo, this guy. Then everyone started dissing him. You know?
So I was telling you before we jumped on that I have a theory about this. That I think that the dude is just doing this to obviously like just as a troll to get streams and scans because... I was telling
that's
you,
that's how the world is.
That's how it is. Like I pulled up the numbers the week that he was obviously like fighting with those dudes online, and you know, obviously people. Because here's the thing: people, younger kids who like Power Trip don't know who the fuck that dude is or what that band is.
What was that beef about?
I don't remember. I think it was just something like I think it was just the dude from Trap saying like he was bigger than them or he could draw more people or some bullshit. I don't know the beginning of it. But it's funny because he uses like these metrics of like Pandora, which is like, I'm not dissing Pandora, the smallest streaming thing. You know what I mean? You can't really compare your numbers on there to say like numbers on Spotify and Apple Music and shit. So I have a theory that he's just doing it to increase streams and getting people to talk about him. Because listen, this is the best PR you could get. Even if you're beefing with people.
Yeah.
You know, people like who listen to like our podcast don't know who the fuck that guy is, but they're gonna go now Google him. The guy's gonna get a fucking view on his fucking video from us. You know, clowning him or whatever. He's still getting.
You know what's funny? Maybe some of his whack fans were like, I can't. I said maybe they have to Google Danny Diablo.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
My thing is this. I said I wrote to him. That really, I know it hurt him. I go. Name one. I said I have loyal. I'm so lucky that I have loyal fans all over the world. I said, when did you ever hear someone say, yo, that song for Trap changed my life? Never. never heard that before. Never happened.
Oh, man.
Homeboy's mad. Your homeboy got mad. He's probably like, all for you, Damien. Probably gonna hang him somewhere. It's all for you, Damien. The big wheel?
Yeah, I love... Oh, man. The shiny.
Oh. Imagine the guy died, kills himself tomorrow. I feel real bad.
Dude, no. That guy... Listen. End of the day, he's getting paid from all these streams from people. Dude,
The
guy from... what's that band? Born of Osiris or something did a parody of him dissing him. But at the end of the day, it's like... You still went and downloaded this track, went through all this time and effort. The guy got paid from the download of the... instrumental and shit. So who's really laughing? You
know? I just said they sound all those bands sound like they're a whack alien ant farm. Alien ant farm is pretty whack.
That's the best comparison, man. That
right.
Well, and here's the thing. Like we were just saying too, it is a time and place, man. I mean, that band obviously came out when there was a way that you could ship a shit ton of records. Radio was a thing. MTV was a thing. You could just buy, you know, a hit like that or whatever. So, listen, God bless them. I hope that everybody who checks that out comes in and streams Diablo's Den podcast or your solo stuff or Scarhead shit, because at the end of the day, that's what we want this for. So, all right, we're going to get our first guest on. Hang on one second.
DRP.
All right, we're back, and we've got our first guest on for the Corona Chronicles. I'm going to let our host, Danny Diablo, introduce to you our first guest.
All right, right now, I'm looking at the DRP.
Yeah.
What's up, DRP?
Ruckus!
Oh, shit. Ruckus Movement.
Yeah. Yeah. What's going on, Danny? What's going on, Jay?
Five records.
Yeah, five.
Yeah, what's up, the DRP? Thanks for joining us, man, during this madness, man. How are you holding up down there?
I'm cleaning the fuck out of my house, bleaching everything. I did that before the coronavirus, right. Though.
Just kind of OCD. He has OCD really bad.
Really bad. Danny knows me.
Really bad.
I had a stockpile of sanitizer before it was cool.
Yeah, same, man. I was telling you, Ezek's got Purell on him right now. I said, man, how did you get
that? Yeah.
Yeah, Purell all day.
Yeah, Danny.
Yo, so Donnie, thank you so much. DRP, thanks for so much for joining us, man. So, yo, we're just having all of our friends jump in while we're kind of all in this madness. And Ezek and I have been trying to pump out some more content while everyone is at home and giving our fans and listeners, you know, just stuff to take in. And we're so psyched to have you on. So just for those who don't know much about Force 5 Records and what you do, just give us a really quick overview, man, of what you got going on down there.
Shit. As you can see behind me, I don't know if you can see everything, but
yeah, I got a
t-shirt press. What's that?
That's an awesome setup over there.
Yeah, yeah. I got a t-shirt press. Me and Danny do a lot of different work together designing. Like, I don't know if you can see, we just did the New York Hard Course hoodies. But yeah. Danny's always got different stuff because he's an artist himself, so... We're working on a bunch of shit for Danny's site, DannyDiabloMerch.com. Then Force 5 Records. I got Saint Dog on the label, Mars, myself, a bunch of guys, Prolific, Jason Logic. I mean, we're constantly churning out music. Danny's, between me and Danny, like, we're fucking morons with music. We're always trying to make shit all the time. We're like, let's do this. So, I mean, we work really well together. But between him, between me, and what I'm doing, what he's doing, there's just so much going on. So, I mean... It's built itself up, but like with Danny's help, he's co-signed for me with a lot of artists and stuff like that. Like I've known Danny for over 10 years, but he met me at my worst, and now I'm at my best.
When I met him, he was fucked up in the game, but we toured together.
Yeah.
And the dude changed his life around.
Yeah.
I'll just say he's sober, but he's drinking a White Claw right now.
I got a White Claw and Jameson.
Oh my god!
Two though, coffee, White Claws, Jameson, no other kind of bullshit. Not anymore.
DRP, you got to get yourself a little bit of
I got to give you some of that. I got to give you some
Diablo Dark Rose. So when did you start Force 5 Records? Tell us a little bit about the background of what made you start that and how did you start it? Like what year? And give us a little bit of background about the label.
2002, my band Soar, it was me and four other guys. Like I went to high school with all of them. We did it was rap rock, rap metal, but like we were all like punkers, thrashers kind of thing. But like I couldn't sing for shit, you know what I mean? So I could do hardcore and I could rap. So I'm like, well, I'll do this. And we found another singer, and we kind of made that like Linkin Park type thing and shit like that. So, but we didn't have a label, so we loved Pulp Fiction. You know what I mean? We all loved it. So the Fox Force 5, and there was five of us. So we're like, well, fuck it, we'll call it Force 5, and that's how it was created. Then I signed Cousin Cletus, who's he was Boondocks' hype man from Psychopathic Records.
That's Juggalos.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of touring with the Juggalos and stuff like that. Like DJ Clay, I did some touring with him. You might not remember me and Mars. Every psychopathic artist I probably toured with, and every like Twisted, like all those guys. I'm like Danny. I'm a chameleon. Like I'm a hardcore guy. I'm a punk guy. You know, I rap. I like all that different shit. You know, I just like music.
Yep.
Danny likes freestyle music. You know, I love all that shit too. I love all that. So that's why I wanted the label to be. You know what I mean? Like a little bit of everything.
Good. That's real good.
What was your first release? Was it so? Your first release was for your band. Is that what made you start the journey of like kind of getting this, learning the process? Yeah.
basically we needed a label to show, like, the booking agent was me for the band. The manager was me. But it was all different names. It was like, I think I used Adam for one name for the manager. The booking agent was like, and like, oh, I talked to Andy and he said that, tour manager. I was all that fucking, everyone else in the band drank, did coke. I had to do a little coke on the side, but these guys were fucking nonstop, and I was all these different things at once. And people were cool about it. I'm like, well, Andy told me. I would tell, like, promoters, like, Andy told me we're getting $300. Where the fuck is it? I'm like, well, I'll go talk to him when I see him back at the hotel. I lied to every promoter.
Oh, shit. That's amazing. When did you get into Prime of 55?
Actually, I was working on my first solo record for Force 5. After Soar fell apart, I was working on the first solo record. I already had Ari the Rugged Man. I had Potluck from Suburban Noise Records. Yeah. But I was a huge Primer 55 fan. And I went to their show in Milwaukee. My buddy ran the rave in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, the raves, yep.
Let's go talk to Jason and Bobby Burns. Yeah. Maybe you can get them on the album. So I actually went to go talk to both of them to be on my record. And as it turns out, Jason, the lead singer at the time, the original singer, was having drug issues, and he quit the band 2 weeks after I had talked to him about doing this song with me. And then Bobby's like, hey, I'm interested in having you perform for Primer 55. So within a month, I was out on the road with Primer 55.
Yo, that's a trip, fucking, huh?
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And now he's singing for MOG Classic.
I don't know how it happens, man. Tim and Kenny, the original rhythm section from MOD with Billy Milano, they're on another interview actually tonight announcing a bunch of shit. So
yeah, Billy Milano's outside the studio with a bat. You know, club. Wait, we'll beat them. They hit Tim in the head so hard. Bow!
It was funny because we had plugged that tour. There was the Scarhead.
Yep. MOD.
MOD Classic Tour. And it was Joe Fatal was our first guest back after that tour. And if you haven't heard his experiences, everyone should go back and listen to that because he was very humbled by that tour, he said.
Danny's one of my best friends, but even he on the tour is like, God damn it, what is going on in this tour? Danny, we'll figure it out, man.
it was so crazy that tour, bro. Because I didn't get Scarhead back into touring. You mean?
Yep.
And it's a crash course in back. It's all, and I could not. I was like, holy shit, these dudes. I will kill someone. You know what I mean? But I, you know what? I made my money and my merch. But Fado, I'm on tour with Fado, Scam. It's like crazy. Scam and Fado together. Yeah, oh my God.
And Dan are like best friends, but I swear sometimes they're going to come to blows. I don't know. I'm like, are they going to fight? But I think it's just like, I mean, like, I was here. There was one time we were on what bridge were we on that you made me stop the van in New York in the fucking middle of the fucking bridge because there was two dudes fighting and him and Scam ran out with all the Scarhead guys.
You posted that. You guys posted that.
Yeah.
On his Instagram.
I'm a Midwestern guy. Like, New York is fucking nuts to me every time I'm there. And he's just like, stop the van. And I'm like, okay. And I stop in the middle of the fucking bridge, George Washington Bridge, I think it was. I'm like, fuck you. I'm like, you say that to Danny, because I'm fucking, I was told to park.
Yo, it's so funny about that. The two guys are fighting, were both Asian. And stupid us and Scam, we thought they knew each other, but they didn't know each other just because they're Asian. I'm like, you niggas don't know each other? Like, no, fuck this guy. Let's just start laughing.
Damn.
I called my girl out and was like, I just stopped on the George Washington Bridge in New York. You know how fucking nerve-wracking that was?
Oh, yeah, because that bridge is just, there's always, it's always packed. Always
cops everywhere.
Cops everywhere. Fuck, no, that's brutal.
And, it was funny.
And then I made one wrong turn afterwards, and it was like an hour detour because I made
We were watching it hide somewhere.
Well, fucking New York.
And then think about it. You have all that pressure of driving around, you know, Ezak's scam, you know, all these people. And you're just like sitting there being like, I just got to get to this destination.
Scam will be watching Donnie drive and just staring at him, make sure he doesn't fall asleep.
Yeah.
I'm like, leave the guy alone.
I'm like, Scam, I'm fine. I'm fine, Scam. I'll tell you what, Scam is a good co-pilot, man. He's amazing. He'll drive you fucking nuts while you're driving, but he's amazing.
He's amazing, mate. It was so cool to be with Scam on the road again. You know what I mean?
I swear, I thought you guys were going to fight a couple times, man, the way you guys talk to each other.
My brother, I can tell you, all day.
That's how me and Rick Dog are.
Yeah, so Donnie, so obviously, man, I just want to pick your brain, too, for something. So obviously, like, with all artists, you know, being at home right now and stuff, like, do you have any advice or maybe something you could share that, you know, maybe you artists or you yourself have been doing? You know, obviously, people can't go out to shows and stuff. Any advice for artists that are home? I know some people are doing like live shows. Anything that you guys have seen, you know, effective, man? We're trying to obviously like, you know, give hope to people and give people ideas while they're locked up in this madness.
I would suggest to them, you know, hopefully they're still making content. Do things that you didn't have the time to do before. You know, everyone's so busy with life, with, you know, getting here, getting there. I'm hoping artists get even more creative now. You know, yeah. You were doing what you were doing before. You need to do even more now. Like, try something different. Be inventive in a different way. What's it gonna hurt right now? You got the extra time. You can do a bunch of different shit right now. Like,
yeah, right,
keep doing what you're doing.
Write lyrics. Fucking write music. Listen to other music. Go explore. Spotify and Pandora. Be like, oh shit, what's this?
We got all the time. Yeah. We got all the time right now. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to study everybody, you know what I mean? What they're doing. And I didn't get all that. I mean, I still do that before, but I've got so much more time now to study what this label's doing, what this artist is doing, you know what I mean? What they're doing for designs, you know what I mean? It's study hour.
My girl's 27 years old, so she never seen The Sopranos. So I'm watching The Sopranos.
That's a good watch.
The whole season, yo, we are laughing. It's, I know, babe, but you're not really watching. She watches it when she's little, she says. All right, so listen. So we're watching Sopranos. The other day, I did a video of her, like a little porn.
Shout out to Storm OnlyFans account.
So you can see Danny Diablo at the Hebrew Hammer on my OnlyFans.
Oh, man. I'm making my old lady right now. She's not. I mean, she was born in the '90s too. She's a little bit. Yeah. She's never seen any of the B movies from Ace. I just made her watch Toxic Avenger. That blew her fucking mind. She never saw Return of the Living Dead.
I saw that in the movie theater. When the hot punk rock girl danced on the grave.
I told her every 80s horror movie, there better be some titties in it.
Yeah.
When we watch, like, there's the titties. I'm like, I told you. Every 80s horror movie's got titties in it.
Check it out. Yo, last night, I want to give a shout out to Puerto Rican Mike. We're talking about 80s horror movies.
Oh, I love Puerto Rican Mike.
He went to the hospital and had a heart attack. They listen, come they on. Thought Puerto Rican, but it was his blood sugar level.
Like going high from the 80s horror movies. Oh, my God, look at him titties.
Yo. He's all right. Puerto Rican Mike's all right. You had to laugh, right? He's like, yo, nigga. They said my sugar level's too high.
You know, I've mentioned it a couple times, man, on this podcast. My Puerto Rican Mike story, when you and I were at Pizza Hut Buffet and we called him on speakerphone, and he started just screaming about delivering the heart and dropping N-bombs, and it was so insane, man. It was like,
oh yeah. he delivered people's organs.
What?
In a van.
He called us at lunch one day, and it was the funniest thing because we were just sitting there, and he's just yell talking. And me and E, it was me, Yvonne, Ezak. I think Machine was there. Yo,
I remember that. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was like 15 years ago, man.
Shout
out to Puerto Rican Mike. Tim just had me send him an MOD Classic hoodie. I hope you got that hoodie. You better wear it. Mike. He's in Arizona, right? That's where I said.
Yeah.
Yo, so Donnie, before we let you go, man, what do you want to plug? Yeah. What are you working on over there, man?
Well, we just dropped the single, Danny and Mars's single, Leave Me Alone, with Vinny Paz. Scribble.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
Me.
Which we
it's
played.
Yeah. We, on street.
We played it on Corona Chronicles episode number one, so well,
yeah.
It was the opening
that
track.
Was dope. Yeah. It's killing on YouTube. It's killing it on streams. Go check that shit out. Devils and Demon, Mars and Danny Diablo. I just got a single dropping with Big Hoss and Jason Logic next week. And then Prolific's got a single with King Ice and Strange Music. Tech Nine's label coming out at the end of the month.
Tech Nugent?
And MOD Classic is coming out with an album soon. We're actually in talks with Combat Records, with Dave Ellison with Combat Records.
That's my boy, Dave Ellison. Megadeth.
So, yeah. Shade that. Yeah, there we go. And it looks nice. Looks nice.
Yeah.
Shit, you guys having me on?
Thanks, Donnie. I love you, bro.
Thanks for Donnie. We're going to plug everybody. So, Donnie, just one more time. Where can everybody find you on Instagram? Plug your Instagram, the .com, the whole thing.
Go to force5records.com, F-O-R-C-E, the number 5, records.com.
Yeah.
Go to DannyDiabloMerch.com.
Yep.
We got a bunch of shit.
Yes.
And then also go to Instagram, the DRP official. And,
Yo, Donnie, what's the single you did with me and my girl on your video, the heroin one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go to YouTube and check out my single Heroin. I actually put – it's like an acoustic track. It's more mellow. Some people might not like it, but it's –
It's like Everlast.
Yeah, it's like an Everlast type tune. Awesome. About my addiction to heroin back in the day. So now I'm free of that shit. So, yeah, check it out, Heroin.
Awesome.
On YouTube.
All right, well, Donnie, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
Thank you, Danny. Appreciate Danny. I love you, brother.
Peace. Peace.
All right, awesome. We are back with our second guest of the night on the Corona Chronicles, episode number 2.
Yeah.
Yo, E, that was awesome. So we just wrapped up with the DRP. It was a really good interview. So we have our second guest. We're really excited for this one tonight. So, Ezak, once again, I'm going to let you take over and give the introduction, please.
Check it out. Right now, we got my brother from Detroit, DJ Clay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yay.
What's up, Clay? How are you? Yo, what up? How you doing, Clay?
No, I'm doing great, man. You know, I mean, as great as I can be during this quarantine bullshit.
It's crazy shit, right?
Yeah,
This shit is crazy as hell. You know, it is really crazy. Like, you for real wouldn't expect, like, in your lifetime that some shit would be this serious. You know, like, there's been other pandemics. You know, throughout the decades and shit, but none's been like this.
No, it's crazy. How's Detroit?
It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, every other major city right now. Like, it's only people with essential jobs are working right now. You know, like everywhere else right now. You know, everybody's out of work and shit. Yeah. And, like, even my studio's down right now. You know, but I set up shop here at the crib.
I had to,
I'm doing mixing and mastering and shit like that out of the house.
Cool.
I brought all the essential gear here. And,
but
you know, people ain't, you know, cause my studio I have, you know, me and my partner on it. And, it's, you know, it's for the public, you know, like people can book time there. But ain't nobody trying to get studio time right now, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, so Clay, so I want to get again. Just thank you so much for joining us tonight. Can you just for our listeners at home and stuff, just give us a little bit of background about, you know, where you're from, what you've been into, just so people can, if they don't know
who you
are,
tell about who you DJ and the music. That,
a little bit about your
background. Your background.
Man, I'm straight up Detroit underground DJ, rapper, producer. It's everything that I do. Everything that I've done, a lot of work with ICP. I've been
awesome.
I was their DJ for 12 years.
Damn,
that's awesome.
12 years.
Cut my first record deal with through them. And when I was just a young butt, I was only 22 when I caught my first record deal with them. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, I was doing it ever since. And now I own my own record label and got my own artist and. This shit's starting to blow the fuck up too.
What's the name of your label?
Oh, right here, it's AR Entertainment.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Arm Robbery Entertainment.
Yes.
That's hard. I like that.
So you know, Clay, around that goon shit, that underground goon shit, you know.
Awesome. Hey Clay, so how did you get started in music? Tell us a little bit about your journey into the path of like getting into DJing and sort of that whole thing.
Oh shit, man. Ah, oh, man, I'm straight hip hop, like head all the way type shit. Like, oh, man, I started getting into like DJing when I was 11 years old.
No shit.
And yeah, I and like just music in general, but I didn't own no turntables and no shit yet around that time. It was, you know, my parents were broke. They couldn't. It wasn't until I was 13 when my parents actually, you know, sprung one Christmas for like a beginner setup for me and shit with like a mixer, a couple turntables, shit like that. And I've been it was like for real. Like it was like maybe only 2 weeks later, I was getting like booking birthday parties and like renting halls out, and you know, from that on, like at a young age, like I was getting paid off fucking the door at like these halls that I would just rent. I was like, you know, by the time I was like 15, I was doing that, you know, just me and my crew, you know what I'm saying? We would do it, pay some money for the hall, you know, since we were so young, nobody would really charge us that much for the hall, because they're like, you know, we didn't, you know, but then I'd bring the whole hood, you know, they did come and I'd walk out that bitch paid. I'd do back-to-back weekends myself, you know? But yeah, I started DJing at 13, and then, you know, as time went by, I just got into, like, rapping, DJing, producing. It all came pretty fucking hand-in-hand. Like, there was almost none that really came first, but what absolutely came first was DJing.
Right.
But, I mean, that was only probably by a few weeks, you know, if you want to get technical.
Yeah, and there's such a rich history and scene where you're from, too.
St. Andrew's Hall.
St. Andrew's
Hall. Oh, yeah. St. Andrew's, yeah.
They got the strip club right next to it. The black strip club right next to it. Right? Right over there, St. Andrew's Hall, right there.
Oh, right next to it?
Next to it, right next to it. Yeah, that's the strip. I'll bug out over there.
Yeah, that was that's a historical spot these days, you know, to play. And I've been, you know, blessed enough to rock that bitch, you know, plenty of times, you know. I think it's real dope, you know, to do it. And when I was, you know, one of those young cats that I was in a whole different scene than a lot of the, you know, even older school than me, Detroit cats like the M&Ms and even
Esham,
like, you know,
Esham and them.
Yeah, Esham and all them. Like, you know, I'm younger than all those cats, so they were in that scene. But see, Esham and like that type of scene, the underground wicked shit scene, I was in that scene, you know, and I was partially in the, like the hip hop scene too, but I wasn't in like the
MC Breed.
MC Breed, yeah.
Rest in peace, right? He passed away, right? Yeah.
He passed
away. Rest in peace, MC Breed.
Yeah. R.I.P. Breed. For sure. Straight legend, man. And he actually was signed to one of ICP's sub-labels.
Oh, for real?
He did his last album before
he passed on that.
I believe the label was called UMZ or something like that, but
that's dope.
It was like a sub label they were starting, but I think that was the only record they put out on that label. You know?
So Clay, how did you end up crossing paths with the ICP guys? How did that come together?
You know, they got people that are from the same neighborhood as me. You know, when they were growing up, it's kind of like their stomping ground, Southwest Detroit, and shit, and you know, they lived outside of Southwest, but they was in Southwest all the time.
Yeah.
So they got boys that are here. And my partner, you know what I'm saying, my best friend, happened to be related to the Rude Boy, who is Violent J's best friend and a tour manager. He does tour managing. He runs their wrestling and stuff like that. And he's actually a real good friend of mine here. And, you know, we're from the same neighborhood. So, we bumped into each other. I was DJing. I was young. I was like 15, 16 years old, I think I was. And I was DJing a party in my boy's aunt's backyard. And, you know, it happened to be then Rude Boy walked in. And I knew who he was for being a little young juggalo. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I knew who he was. So I was like, oh, what's up? You know? And then from there, I got his contact because he was like, yo, man, he was like, you're killing it. I was on the turntables, you know, I was rocking the party, and he was like, yo, you're killing it. How he's like, man, how old are you? And I was like, 16, you know. You know, and then he's like, yo, so he hollered at my boy and he actually plugged us up together, you know, like, yo, he basically my boy, who's my partner now, that
the label,
his name's Jose. We run the label together. He was my contact to Rudy, you know, and so Rudy would hit him up, you know, and be like, yo, man, I need, ICP needs a DJ for this party. It'd be like special events and like
that's awesome
shit here locally in Detroit. And that was, I was like,
that's
like,
cool.
I was probably
like 17. Yeah.
That's cool, dude. I always have a love with Detroit. I from going playing shows there all the time. I would play. I got a lot of friends out there, some DMS guys out there, but Detroit was always a cool place to me because I could do anything I want over there. There's graffiti. You can do anything you want. It's just, it was crazy. And when people say how hard the neighborhood is, and when people are like, yo, New York, Queens, I'm like, yo, it's this crazy. But niggas in Detroit will kill you, and no one cares.
No one
gives a fuck.
I got to shout out my friend, Mr. Porter, Denon Porter, who's also out from over there. That's a good friend of mine. So shout out to him, too.
That's like the scene I was talking about. Like, I wasn't tied up in that scene because those cats already were, like, starting to do it. I was real young, you know. But so, you know, coming up, like, it was just like a different route than most people, you know what I'm saying, as far as being tied into the hip hop scene in Detroit. But you know, I was more into that, you know, straight underground scene, you know.
Yo, Clay,
what was it like the first time you played a show with ICP? Because I gotta imagine that must just be like a totally different experience, especially as a DJ, because they're so animated on stage and there's a lot going on. What was that experience like?
The first time performing for them was actually on my second tour out with, because I went, the first tour that I went out on Psychopathic was the Shaggy 2 Dope solo tour.
Okay.
So he went out solo and I was his DJ. So, you know, we went out for about 3 months on tour, you know, me and him gained a good relationship. He's always and still is, you know, a great friend of mine personally, you know what I'm saying? Like outside of this music shit, you know, because we, you know, we got that history, you know, all of us do. And so, you know, we did the tour, and then after that tour was up, I thought it was a one-time gig. I thought it was like a one-time gig to where, you know, I'm getting paid to DJ, go out and be DJ for the tour.
Just do the tour and see you after.
Then I'm going to continue doing me and, you know, trying to land more shit like that, you know. But I ended up getting a phone call, like, you know, a month after that tour, like, yo, we want you to come out as ICP's DJ,
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then other artists on the label wanted me to be their DJs, too, and I was all for it, because I just want to rock.
Yeah, you're like, I'll just stay on the road.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But they sat down and, you know, had a meeting and made me exclusively their DJ, you know, like, you know, so I got signed exclusively as their DJ, you know, so.
That's awesome,
which was dope. You know, that was an honor. I mean, they're you know, legends in the game, you know.
Well, they're my
brothers, you know what I'm saying? Like, they taught me a lot.
On top of that, too, I mean, when you look at a group like them, too, I mean, they were one of, you know, you go back and you see a lot of people do this whole, like, DIY thing or whatever, but those guys were, like, the originators of, like,
your
own movies. You know, making movies, VHSs, distributing their own records, like that whole thing, which I'm, you know, anybody who listens to our show knows I'm a huge advocate of that. I run my own label here, you know, and again, like ICP was one of those, they were like one of the first to kind of get into that whole.
They're the definition of independent, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they set the bar for a lot of underground, you know, people that are successful in underground these days, you know, right now.
Well, dude, even if you just look at, I mean, think about just the culture they created, too. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Entire culture.
Yeah, it's
that expands as far as a whole another generation, which is me. I'm, you know, which is me. And then I have followers that span off of their following, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And shit like that. So, I mean, it spreads real big, you know? So.
Oh, back on!
We fucking lost you, dude.
I'm back.
We lost you.
Where are you, Jay? Where are you? Hey, I'm back.
We had just kept talking, so I'll edit right. It back. We were.
That was crazy. I want to check this out. I want to ask a question. Hey, but Clay,
I was gonna say you got to leave him frozen with his face there. You ain't gonna get it.
Clay, being Latino and part of like the whole Psychopathic Records crew and everything. If there wasn't that many Latinos, I know that homeboy, the one boy from the Bronx was what's his name of. Misery, right? He's a Puerto Rican cat.
Yep.
And it's cool
shout
that.
Shout out
to Misery. But it's cool because, like, I talk, it's like, you're Mexican descent. Jay, right here, Jay's Cuban. And I'm Puerto Rican. So it's cool.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's dope. Duh, yeah.
Hip-hop and underground, shit.
No, man. Hey, man. Being Latino, being Mexican in the Juggalo community was huge. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, now, you know, I try to represent, shit, man, like, I love my race, you know what I'm saying? I love my people, the background, you know what I'm saying, the history. So it's like, I get a lot of love because of that. You know, I brought that into the culture, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And as well as Misery, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But being that, it's like, man, certain places that are more, Spanish populated, like, yeah. I say, like, New Mexico or Arizona and stuff, it's like, I go down there and the draw is insane.
Yeah, I love, right?
Versus, like, in Iowa sometimes, you know?
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I travel all over the world, and when I see someone in, like, a Puerto Rican, I bug out. You know, it's cool. It's cool to see people, like, especially when you play Spanish-speaking countries. And they show milk, Chile, Colombia. They're like, "Yo, what's up?" And especially the hardcore metalhead kids would go crazy.
Right, that's real love. That's that real love.
Yeah.
So Clay, what are you working on right now? I mean, while you've been home, have you just been working on a ton of content, or what are you doing? Because it's obviously in the studio. So,
man, I'm glad you asked. For real, because, I mean, literally before, when I was texting you, like, yo, about how much longer, it's because I was just literally finishing this new mixtape that I'm hosting. It's one of my artists. His name's Jay Sin, the Sin God. He's on, A-R-E-N-T.
Awesome. No, he's dope, man. That kid can spit.
You peeping the shit, right?
Yeah, he can spit, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, he's a monster, man. I put him up against almost anybody, and he's only getting better and better. Like,
that's awesome.
We just recorded enough singles for the rest of this year for him, like, that we're going to be putting out. And we did this entire mixtape. Me and him did basically an EP and a mixtape in like a week,
Awesome.
Because, he's from Alabama.
All right.
Yeah. So, this kid's a monster, man. And, we're proud to have him on the label and be putting shit out. But I just finished the mixtape. It's called he got a series called The Process.
Awesome.
It's his mixtape series. And I hosted the last one. This is the third installment. This is the process three. I just finished it up. It comes out this Monday.
Awesome. Yeah. So just in time. Monday.
We're
recording this on a Wednesday. It'll probably be out Friday, so it'll hit like just in time. So we'll definitely make sure.
Yeah, it's 4:20. It drops on 4:20.
Of course,
that's my favorite day.
Yeah, of course. Great day to release music.
I have a song with Clay. He did the beat called "Hit 'Em Up." I did my
"Hit 'Em Up."
That shit's hard. Yeah. And so me and Clay are gonna do a whole record too. But
we're not gonna
push back. But we're gonna do something. Me and Clay.
We've hinted around. Yeah, we've hinted around on social media.
Yeah.
And people can't wait to hear what that's going to sound like.
People bugged out on us.
Yeah, judging by the response that I've gotten when we talked about it, like just kind of poked around on the internet, kind of hinting, teasing about it. People are like, fuck yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because so many people, they fucking love this guy.
I was going to say, like, the one thing that's so cool about working with E on whether it's this, I'm sure everybody who feels this way is just like how much fun all of the experiences are with this dude, because it really is just such a good time. You know what I mean? Like, I I love producing.
Wait till Clay and I go on the road. He'll be like, "Oh shit!" Like,
yeah, It's gonna be one wild trip when we go out there for sure. But yeah, man, I can't wait to do that. The project, like, yes, and man, I can't wait. See, you were talking about Detroit there. I can't wait to come to your hood.
Listen, September 4th, they moved Diablo Fest to September 4th, and I'm flying Clay out to DJ and hang out. Have a good time.
Yo, Clay, we're gonna have to, when we do the real episodes at the studio in the city, Clay, you're gonna have to come on. And we'll have to join us for like a real sit down in person.
Yeah, we have a real studio.
I'm in. Count me in. I'm down.
Definitely, brother.
Hell yeah. So, really quick, man, before we let you go, Clay, where can everybody keep up with you? What do you want to plug right now, man? Let everybody know where we can find you at.
You can find all my social media, Instagram, Twitter is just at DJ Clay 313.
And plug your label.
My Facebook is DJ Clay Official. The record label on all social media. You know, if you can get right to the record label at Arm Robbery Official. You know, or the real ARENT. I got the new record just came out in August. You know, it's called Over the Fear of. It's the first installment of the 3-part rap series that I'm doing, because it's my first solo rap record.
Tell us a little bit about that. Before we let you go, tell us a little bit about that really quick.
It's been in demand for a nice group of years now, because I've always dropped solo tracks all throughout the mixtapes that I did for Psychopathic, you know, and people like the solo songs that I were doing, what I was doing when I was rapping. Yeah. And so they, you know, it was in high demand. So I did it finally. And it just dropped August of last year. I'm doing it's 3 parts is what I'm doing. The title's Over the Fear of. That's the, you know, and then it's got, you know, dot 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 for the continuance. The next one is gonna be another phrase, and then the third one another. It's gonna say something when it's done. Like, it's something that's gonna mean a lot to the fans, to myself, you know.
Gotcha. Dope. That's awesome, man.
That's dope, B.
Awesome. So, yeah, Clay, thank you so much for joining us on the Corona Chronicles, man. We're gonna have you up here in September, so everybody. You know, we're hopefully going to get through this madness, and we'll be partying at Diablo's Den.
When you come out here, Clay, when you come out here, it's on.
I'm ready.
Take you to the grimiest places in New York City.
I'm shooting a fucking music video when I come out there, man. For real.
Yeah.
Awesome.
For real, man. Awesome. Hey, one more with 211merch.com.
Yes.
Cop the record, cop all the dope gear that I got.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us, quick man. We're gonna keep up with you soon, man. Thank you so much, brother.
Detroit, brother.
Yeah.
Woo. That was awesome, man. So we had a really good show.
That was cool. That's a legend, DJ Clay. So old legend.
Guys, we I hope you understand too. We're still learning the technical stuff. So I hope that this all sounds and looks okay for you guys. We just want to get some content for everybody who's at home and can't get out. Hopefully we're going to be through this all safe. And like Ezek said, read Only Death is Real.
Only Death is Real. It's by Tom Gabriel Fisher, who's Tom G. Warrior, from the guy who changed my whole life. I'm a big Celtic Frost fan, but it's about Hellhammer and before Celtic Frost. And Celtic Frost from 1981 to 85, all crazy shit here.
That's hard.
And I didn't know that it tells you they had a bitch in it. The bitch became white power. They're like, "Yo, you bitch, you gotta go." She's like, "Devin was you white power bitch. Like, get the bitch out of here." It was so crazy shit in here. Yo, it's just mad crazy, B.
That's
his mother was she smuggled diamonds.
Jesus.
Yo, so she would leave him like smuggled diamonds in Europe and come back like for some guy.
That's crazy.
And he listened to music on his AM radio. I couldn't hear it. Really,
that's why all the production on that shit's.
It sounds like that.
Yeah, because all he ever knew was that. So when he went to the studio, it sounded too good. He was like, "No, no,
God, no, AM. I want more static,
Well, I love you, man. I'm so excited, man. So, you know, everybody, guys, keep up with us.
Yo.
Definitely join the news list. Subscribe to YouTube. The numbers have been.
Yo, everyone, hit me on Twitter and say, "Fuck the guy for trap. He's a bitch-ass nigga."
Yo, I want to just do really quick shout out everybody who has been subscribing to the YouTube. We've gotten a bunch of new subscribers. We're so close to 1,000. So, yo, please keep subscribing. Join the newsletter. We will be back.
The Album Fan Podcast.
We will be back with a new episode soon. Signing off, Jay Reason and the Lord Isaac Danny Diablo. Thank you guys so much.
Peace. Everyone. Everyone, stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask and gloves. And we'll get over this. Be nice to your neighbors and your loved ones.
Peace.
The world is mine. 4-5, baby. Yeah. Rap with a trap beat. Sipping Fino. Diablo's Mackie. Yeah. Knuckle dragging. Pants be saggy. Yeah. Slaughtered like goats. Last man standing. Diablo on Mars.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.